Good morning, everyone, and welcome to worship at the Church of Conscious Harmony. It's great to be together, and it's really nice to see each of you here this morning. Just a couple announcements. First of all, if you're visiting for the first time or a recently newcomer, I'd love the privilege of meeting you. There's also a welcome table on the other side of the bridge that you came in on, and one of our team members is there to answer any questions you may have about the church today. We still have a few spots available for the six-day centering prayer retreat, which is occurring up at Cedar Break, and that begins this Friday. And we also have a one-day centering prayer retreat that's happening here in the sanctuary on September 21st. You can register for both of those online or go by calling the church office. These are wonderful retreats that are very available to our community on a regular basis and support each of our desires to consent to God's presence and action more in our lives and be renewed in doing so. Our retreat ministry is such a blessing. We have changed the time for the Wednesday evening contemplative communion service from 6 p.m. to 6:30 in the evening. Hopefully that makes it a little easier to get here. Today is a special day in the life of the church because you can eat some treats that our youth and parents have baked. It's the youth hyped bake sale after church today. And the funds that they raise from selling these delicious items go to support the Trinity Center that serves homeless in our community. So if you buy some food from the kids, you'll be blessing our larger community in a significant way. Also want to draw your attention to the bulletin. There's a couple announcements of things coming up in the next couple weeks, particularly Gurdjieff music in 2 weeks, and then the Women's Lodge, a conscious women's gathering. So if you're a woman, I invite you to check out that announcement and explore your interest in it. It's good to be together, and I thank you for your presence. Let's take a moment in the silence, and let us each, with our minds and hearts and bodies, wish for the most meaningful experience today together, that we would receive what we need, and that those beside us would receive what they need. And in so doing, the world would be blessed. Amen. Spirit,
please stand and help us sing Gospel in One Word.
Most gracious and loving Creator of the heavens and the earth, our Mother, Father, God, source and energy of all life, we thank you for this moment to feel again the touch of your love and be reminded of the truth hiding in plain sight in each of our lives, that we are love itself. We ask that you would liberate the love energy through us into our world and bring healing to where there is division, shame, fear, and violence. And disaster. We ask that our intention today for love would radiate healing energy through the walls of this community, all around this planet and into our cosmos. We know you are holding each of our lives and our families and our communities, and that you are bringing about the very best possible future. We pray this in your most holy and threefold name, our family name, God transcendent, God omnipresent, and God immanent, the Holy Living Trinity. Amen.
Please join with listening me in please join with me in listening for God's word. Our reading is taken from Philippians chapter 2. If then there is any encouragement in Christ, any consolation from love, any sharing in the Spirit, any compassion and sympathy, make my joy complete. Be of the same mind, having the same love, being in full accord and of one mind. Do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility regard others as better than yourselves. Let each of you look not to your own interests, but to the interests of others. Let the same mind be in you that was in Christ Jesus. May this reading nourish our journey deeper into wisdom and love. Amen.
We are launching into a series about learning how to be more responsible for our thoughts. It's called Lessons in Creating, Insights for Living a More Skillful Life. And I don't practice what I preach. But But I am wishing to learn how to do, how to be this new way of being. In a certain sense, you know, the subject today is quantum mind. And we're laying the groundwork for what we're going to be talking about in the weeks to come. But this is really new knowledge that we're assimilating as a culture and as individuals. It's new information that is profoundly transformative, especially in the area of the monotheistic religions, which came from a period of time even before Newton, much less before the quantum understanding that came through Einstein and others in our era. Now, I am not a physicist or cosmologist or anything beyond really sixth grade math occurring in here. But we can draw upon other teachers who are writing about this in a very significant way, and in an accessible way, and I think we'll be inspired by that. We're going to have some time for community sharing as well with the microphones as you listen to this reading, take it in, and we're going to talk about what you're hearing in it, and I think that'll be very meaningful for all of us. Essentially, this notion of the quantum mind or the quantum field is a new way of talking about what Christianity and many of the other religions have spoken of from the beginning, and that is miracles, the possibility of miracles. The quantum dimension is another way of talking about faith or intention or interceding on behalf of someone else, thinking and feeling and gut praying on their behalf, sending a wish out to the universe, so to speak. This is the quantum level of prayer, of intercession. It's just a new way of talking about these ancient truths. It's another way of talking about what Jesus often spoke of in his own ministry and demonstrated in his own life. He was operating at that quantum level. If you have the faith of as little as a mustard seed, you can say to this mountain, move. You know, we used to think that's hyperbole, but perhaps there's something quantumly true about that. He demonstrated healing, energetic healing. Remember that story of the woman who suffered from a hemorrhage for years and years and years? And she reaches out and just touches the hem of his garment, and he stopped and said, "Who touched me? I felt power leave me." The Greek word dunamis, it's really the word for energy. I felt energy leave me. So Jesus, among all the other saints, gurus, sages, healers of the world, and is tapping into this field at some level. I'm not going to go so far as to say the quantum field is God, but I would go so far as to say the quantum field is the breath of God, is the environment, the mode, the medium in which God uses. It's the canvas and the paint that God paints with, so to speak. Personally, I hold that all of creation is infused with God, but God is more than the creation. However big the universe is, how many universes there are, I'm of the opinion at this moment in time that God is more than that. And thus, God isn't locked into a field of quantum energy that came from the mind of God. And you might say, well, what did the mind of God come from? Good question. The church down the street can answer that one. Oh, they think they can. They think they can. I'm sorry, but... Come on, Peter. Get buckled in here. This is what the work talks about as greater mind. And I think perhaps it's insightful for us to think about higher intellect, the higher intellectual center, and the higher emotional center that the work talks about, as somehow speaking to this field, this quantum field that we're going to talk about. I'm not so certain I know what higher intellectual center is or higher emotional center is. I can't point to it in myself. I feel I've had experiences where it has contacted me. But again, this is the level of theory. And so we move to experience these things. So languaging is important. Obviously, this notion of the quantum dimension of reality is speaking to ancient things, miracles, faith, intention, profound wisdom teaching like the greater mind and higher intellectual center and higher emotional center. Our passage of scripture today from Philippians chapter 2 is a very famous passage. It's called the kenosis passage. And that's a Greek word that means emptying of self. And I just want to bring out to the front here that there's a real sense of passivity or consenting. Be of the same mind. Have one mind. Let the same mind in you that be in you as was in Christ. Now the word for mind there is badly translated by the English into mind. Because it's not just mind. And when we think of mind, we oftentimes think of brain, right? At least I do. I'm discovering that I have multiple minds. My gut is a mind. Probiotics help me think more clearly. My heart is a mind. My coherence of electrical signals has been off from time to time, and I flutter. That is a mind. Obviously, the brain is a mind. The emotions are a mind. There's intelligence in all sorts of dimensions. But the Greek word here for mind is phreneo. Phreneo, and you can hear frenetic in that, phreneo. But the word phreneo literally means the midriff region. It's the combination of hara, in Japanese tradition, and heart. The center of our being is what the Greek word is speaking to. It literally could be translated like this. Be of the same guts. Have the same guts as Christ did. And so it really is bringing down not just intellect, but feeling and moving into this invitation to be of the same disposition of all of your centers as a community. It's plural you. It's not a singular you. You all be of the same guts, be of the same heart and hara, be breathing and feeling, thinking together, moving together. It's really profound, and it's not just intellectual, which is the heritage of our Western civilization coming from Descartes. You can finish the sentence. I think. Yep. This is a big problem too. So want to read a couple things. This first reading is 5 minutes, about 5 minutes, so it's going to require your help in making this reading the most it can be. The quantum field is another way of talking about what Lessons in Truth is talking about. Lessons in Truth, as a foundational book for this church, for Tim and Barbara, and for the Unity Movement, grounds the field of energy in God. Listen to this. We all can learn how to turn the conscious mind toward universal mind or spirit within us. We can, by practice, learn how to make this everyday, topsy-turvy mind on the flesh be still and let the mind that is God, all wisdom, all love, think in us and through us. Now, she goes on to talk about God as He, capital He. So it's very theological language, but it's talking about the same reality of the quantum potential that is hidden in the energy field that we call God. Now, Joe Dispenza is doing for spirituality, in a certain sense, what Einstein did for cosmology and physics. Now, whatever you think of Joe Dispenza, I really don't care. I'm not here to promote Joe Dispenza. I'm here saying this guy is giving me language that really resonates and blesses my life. And his resources are really speaking to me. Not all of it, but there are certain elements of it that are profoundly useful to update Christian language and spirituality and theology and experience. Otherwise, if we do not, the churches will continue to decline, empty out, and die because the old language isn't going to land with anyone. Because truly there's been an evolution of consciousness in our era. In our era. Within the last 60 to 100 years, these new ideas have transformed human conscious understanding. So give your attention to this. This is about 5 minutes. I'm reading from his book, Becoming Supernatural. And this is chapter 3, beginning on page 61. And after I read this, we'll have opportunity for you to share what you're hearing from this reading. Getting beyond our body, our environment, and time isn't easy. But it's worth it because once we disconnect from three-dimensional reality, we enter a whole other reality called the quantum, the realm of infinite possibility. Describing this reality is a bit challenging because it's unlike anything we are familiar with in the physical universe. The rules of Newtonian physics, the way we are used to thinking the world works, simply don't apply. The quantum, or unified field, is an invisible field of energy and information. Now, if you had said that sentence even 100 years ago, people would look at you like, hmm? The quantum, or unified field, is an invisible field of energy and information. Or you could say a field of intelligence or consciousness that exists beyond space and time. Nothing physical or material exists there. It's beyond anything you can perceive with your senses. This unified field of energy and information is what governs all the laws of nature. Scientists have been working to quantify this process so we can more fully understand it. And they are discovering more and more all the time. Based on my knowledge and experience, I believe there's a self-organizing intelligence that is energy. And it is observing all of the universes and galaxies into order. Sometimes people will say to me that this idea seems a bit unscientific. I always answer them with the same question. What happens after an explosion? Order or disorder? Their answer is always that disorder results after an explosion. So I then ask, why after the Big Bang, which was the biggest explosion ever, has so much order been created or emerged? Some intelligence must be organizing its energy and matter into form and unifying all the forces of nature to create such a masterpiece. That intelligence, that energy, is the quantum or unified field. To give you some idea of what that field is like, imagine taking away all the people and bodies on this earth, all the animals and plants and physical objects, both natural and man-made, all the continents, the oceans, and even the earth itself. Imagine you could then take away all the planets and moons and stars in our solar system, including our sun, and then imagine taking away all the other solar systems in our galaxy and the universe. There's no air, and there's even no light that you can see with your eyes. There's just absolute blackness. The void, the zero-point field. It's important to remember this because when you, as a consciousness in the present moment, unfold into the unified field, you will be in an infinite black space, a void of anything physical, a womb of infinite potential. Now imagine that not only do you not see anything here, but because you enter into this realm without a physical body, you also have no sight with which to see. Nor do you have the capacity to hear, feel, smell, or taste. You have no senses here at all. The only way you can exist in the quantum field is as awareness. Or better said, the only way you can experience this realm is with your awareness, not your senses. And since consciousness is everywhere, and awareness is paying attention to noticing, once you are beyond the world of senses, when you pay attention to the energy of the quantum field, your consciousness is connecting to greater levels of frequency and information. Yet as strange as this may sound, the quantum field is not empty. It is an infinite field filled with frequency or energy, and all frequency carries information. So think of the quantum field as being filled with infinite amounts of energy, vibrating beyond the physical world of matter and beyond our senses. invisible waves of energy available for us to use in creation. What exactly can we create with all this energy swimming in an infinite sea of potentials? That's up to us, because in short, the quantum field is the state in which all possibilities exist. And as I just said, when we find ourselves in the quantum universe, we exist simply as an awareness or as a consciousness, specifically an awareness that is paying attention to or observing a field of infinite possibilities existing within an even greater consciousness and a greater level of energy. You're doing very well, thank you. As you enter this endless, vast space as an awareness, there are no bodies, there are no people, there are no objects, no places, and no time. Instead, infinite unknown possibilities exist as energy. So if you find yourself thinking about knowns in your life, you are back in the three-dimensional reality of space and time. But if you can stay in the blackness of the void of the unknown for long enough, it will prepare you to create unknowns in your life. In the previous chapter, when I was introducing you to the present moment, I was referring to you stopping yourself from thinking about the predictable future or from remembering the familiar past and simply unfolding into this eternal vast space as awareness, to no longer place your attention on anything or anyone material in this three-dimensional reality, like your body, the people in your life, the things you own, the places you go, and time itself. If you do that properly, you are nothing but awareness. That's how you get there. Now let's step back a bit and look at how scientists came to discover the quantum universe, which happened when they began studying the subatomic world and light. They found that atoms, the building blocks of everything in the physical universe, are made up of a nucleus surrounded by a large field containing one or more electrons. This field is so large in comparison with the tiny electrons that it appears to be 99.99999999% empty space. But as you just read, the space isn't actually empty. It's made up of a vast array of energetic frequencies that make up an invisible interconnected field of information. So everything in our known universe, although it may appear to be solid, is actually 99.99999999% energy or information. In fact, most of the universe is made up of this empty space. Matter is an infinitesimally small component in relation to the immense space of nothing physical. Researchers soon discovered that the electrons that move around in that vast field behave in completely unpredictable manner. They don't appear to be subject to the same laws that govern matter in our larger universe. They're here in one moment and then gone the next, and it's impossible to predict where these particles or waves and when these electrons will appear. That's because, as the researchers eventually discovered, the electrons exist simultaneously in an infinite number of possibilities or probabilities. It is only when an observer focuses his or her attention and looks for something material that the invisible field of energy and information collapses into a particle we know as the electron. That is called the collapsing the wave function or quantum event. But as soon as the observer looks away, no longer observing the electron and taking his or her mind off the subatomic matter, the electron disappears back into energy. In other words, that particle or physical matter, the electron, can't exist until we observe it and give it our attention. And the moment we're no longer putting our attention on it, it turns back into energy. In this way, mind and matter are related in the quantum. So what this means for you is, if you're viewing your life from the same level of mind every single day, anticipating a future based on your past, you are collapsing infinite fields of energy into the same patterns of information called your life. For example, if you wake up and you think, "Where's my pain?" Your familiar pain soon appears because you expected it to be there. Imagine what would happen instead if you were able to take your attention off the physical world and your environment. When you take your attention off your body, you become nobody, and you no longer have access to or any use for the senses. When you take your attention off the people in your life, you become no one, and so you no longer have an identity as a parent, a partner, a sibling, a friend, or even as a member of a profession or religious group, political party, or nationality. You have no race, no gender, no sexual orientation, and no age. When you take your attention off objects and places in the physical environment, you are in no thing and nowhere. Finally, if you take your attention off linear time, which has a past and a future, you are in no time. You are in the present moment, in which all possibilities in the quantum field exist. Because you are no longer identifying with or connected to the physical world, you are no longer trying to affect matter with matter. You are beyond matter and know how you identify yourself as a body in space and time. In a very real sense, you are in the immense blackness of the unified field where nothing material exists. That's the direct effect of continuously laboring to get to the present moment. It's similar to what we teach in centering prayer, return ever so gently to your sacred word. So that's a lot. It's profound, really, and to uptake that takes time. Clearly, this is the opposite of incarnating. This is a practice that we cultivate in meditation, in centering prayer, that helps us realize we're more than our thoughts, we're more than our feelings, we're more than our body, where we can be so identified. And so this is not the goal of Christian life, that is to say, to get out of the body. The goal of Christian life, as I understand it, is for this body to become transformed into love itself. Completely, completely here. But in order to be completely here in this body, it turns out that I have to understand something of this dimension, that I'm more than this body. That makes sense. So, what are you hearing from these ideas? And hopefully these aren't the first ideas. I see Jackie, first of all. We'll need the SEVA team to bring the mics, please.
Thank you for concluding with centering prayer, because that is exactly what I was thinking throughout that. And the experience, particularly in community, of centering prayer. I was thinking about what is happening right now in our journey groups that always begin with a period of centering prayer together in the community and then open up into what we wish to share, and there is a magical energy that I don't think would arise that is communal, that is shared, if we had not begun in the silence mm-hmm. together. And it's the same experience in a retreat, in a circle of people in that state, that it is not a worldly energy. It is a lighter energy. It is special to consenting to God's presence and action and being aware that you're doing that in the moment. Mm-hmm. And magic happens at that time. Currently in our journey groups, we're exploring the dark night of sense, which can be a very isolating experience individually. And what my journey group this last week discovered is that after sitting together and sharing our individual experiences of the darkness, that we had common experiences. The individual events were different, but the experience of relating to God in the darkness, the intimacy of that, was really, frankly, the same thing. And to understand the importance of community, we are together in this darkness, which is light, mm-hmm. actually.
Thank you, Jackie. It's beautiful. I saw Stuart and then Gay.
It seems to me there's an irony here that the withdrawing of our attention from our bodies is really the only way we can truly incarnate. And our drawing our attention away in our usual ways from others in our life, objectifying them, is the only way we can begin to truly be in relationship.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. That's beautiful wisdom. Gay.
I said a version of this morning, so 30 of you have already heard it, but I'm going to say it again. I haven't read the book that you're reading from. I have read the previous book that is our community reading. And my personal experience of that was this. I've immersed myself in the work, centering prayer, and all the other teachings of this church for quite a while now. And I would say that they have all changed my life in so many ways I can't even express it. But this book, within the first 20 pages, when Joe Dispenza was describing in language that I could finally understand about this quantum field, it was the peace that was missing for me. It has changed my, it is changing the way that I look at my world, my inner world, my outer world. This idea that I am a co-creator with God. And he expressed it in such a way that I finally understood the implications of this quantum field. So,
thank you. Right behind you.
This was truly exciting. And when I heard all of it, the phrase that came back to me was, everything and nothing are the same thing. And I am and I'm not are the same thing. And that was just wonderful.
Thank you. Was this side the only side listening? But I want to ask a question. I really mean this. Does anyone disagree or really feel something viscerally opposed to this reading? Anyone? Let's see a hand there. I don't know your name.
I haven't been here in a while.
Hi, Brenner.
I can't help but to think about the 0.00000001% that we call real. Probably the 99.9% is what is real, and we have a word for that, and it's called love.
Yeah, thank you. Beautiful. Is that Peter? Yep.
What I like about what I hear and what I've been reading for this Western scientific mind is that we're now beginning to get empirical evidence that supports the intuitive evidence that the mystics and the ancient traditions have been giving us for thousands of years. And we just, at least this individual hasn't been able to see that, but is now beginning to see a little bit of it.
Yeah. And Ilya Delio is helping us do that as well, big time. In the back, I don't know who you are. The very back row. Oh, is that Nick?
Yes, good morning. I also think that there's a danger in experiencing this level of disassociation with the body and becoming in touch with this kind of power, because it's really adventurous, exciting, and alluring. And it also offers me an escape from the anxiety and gravity of living in a body and living in a terrestrial world. And I think, like, all of the love and all of that is wonderful, but I think it's also worth noting that I can become dislodged from my life if I spend too much time in this place. And when I wake up in the morning, I'm back in the body. And so it seems like this incarnation is designed to reside mostly in the body. And to go to that place is like a marvelous reminder and teacher. And I'll probably go back to that unified field at some point, but like for however long I'm going to be in this body, the lessons are seem more grounded in this kind of existence. And the unified field theory offers so many like wonderful exotic things that seem to not be inherent in a terrestrial life. And I just wonder about the flip side, especially as an American, like, oh man, I can go on vacation anytime I want. It's like, man, it's really easy to go too far. So I wonder about the balance of stepping back into the body and not becoming like addicted to the release.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, Nick. And this is the bridge that I'm hoping to cross here and connecting, that because the caution he's raising there is significant, because this passage of scripture that we read goes on to say, "Have the same mind of Christ in you as Jesus did, who though he was in the form of God, did not equate himself with God, but emptied himself." So the movement and the danger here is that we do become a part of this energy of naming and claiming it, of getting rich and healthy and all the things that we want through this process. That's a road that you can take using this tool. It's not the road I'm interested in. What I'm interested in is discovering how to be empty of self so to be full of love. I saw another hand over here. Yep.
And hi, I'm Kayla.
Hi, Kayla.
So that's something that I think about so frequently is if we are, I think what you're getting at is, are we ignoring what's happening in the world, and are we no longer serving the world if we remove ourselves from it completely? But I think the best way that we can serve the world is if we empty this body, as you're saying, of every attachment to the illusion of self and make ourselves available to be a spot where the love exists in the world. And I think there's so much more wisdom in that and so much more ability to serve the world if we're no longer attached to what we thought our self was.
Thank you. You know, the invitation is to spend 20 minutes in the morning, 20 minutes in the evening in the silence, not all day, not your whole life. So Mary Ann, and then we'll close with you.
Without in any way denying the field, but there is also the question that we know from the work and contemplative Christianity that there are multiple bodies and multiple realms. So it's not a binary body in terms of the physicality and then another realm, but many realms. And we may or may not want to know something about those realms so as to not get caught in one of them.
Mm. That's very good caution and reminder. We'll conclude here. Cynthia.
I really appreciate us talking about this because I've been putting a lot of thought of it into quantum entanglement ever since Ilya Delio introduced it to me a few years ago. I think what Jackie said is there's a, what I appreciate about what she said is she reminded us of the necessity of experiencing this with community, in other words, oneness with everyone. The gentleman in the back speaks to the physical body, and without misinterpreting him, maybe letting go of the body and leaving. There's a reason why we're in the physical body. It's our recording device. And that's how we expand our consciousness through all our experiences in the physical body so that the consciousness can expand.
Thank you very much. There's a lot of wisdom in the room, and obviously these are big, big ideas, and they take a long time to play themselves out. And we can proceed with the wish to be more skillful, more conscious, more loving creators through our words, through our thoughts, through our feelings, through our movement. And this is really lessons in creating, and the quantum field gives us some big insights about this. I want to conclude with the personal example of this that I just received yesterday. And I've shared before that my sister Brecken, who's just turning 30, has struggled greatly in life, and in the last 5 years has battled significant drug addiction, and her life fell apart. She lost her first daughter and second daughter. Both of them were taken to their fathers, and she was unable to have any contact with them. And she spiraled downward and perhaps was on several occasions very suicidal and certainly overdosing. And in the last 2 years, she's been on a journey of recovery. And out of the blue, I received a text message from her yesterday. And I want to share this with you because it's a very humble, simple example of this big stuff, these big ideas being lived out in a 30-year-old young woman in farm country Wisconsin who's just coming out of the hurricane of opioid and meth and all of that lifestyle. And this is her text from yesterday morning. And I have her permission to share this with you. In fact, it really made her cry that I was going to do this. Sitting here on the edge of the Mississippi River, gazing through a fancy restaurant glass window, I see the glistening water in the early morning, rippling, a gentle movement from the enchanting trees lining the river's edge. I'm grateful for life. Once, just a couple years ago, I was here, looking through this same glass restaurant window. However, I was on the outside looking in. I was daydreaming and wanting a life I once had and wished for again. During those very dark days, I never thought I would see the other side again. I was at the bottom of life, held in chains. I was sinking lower than anyone could ever have imagined. Every day was a fight to live, to just feed myself, to shelter myself. Perhaps it was the dream or the memories of once before that kept me going. I sit here now at this breakfast table in this restaurant on the other side of that exact window, and I am very grateful. With perseverance and God's hands guiding me, I found my way back home, rebuilding myself and working very hard. I can enjoy the fruits of my labor now. The simple things in life seem so much more fuller and sweeter when you have been lost but are now found. I am blessed. Thank you for everyone who stood by my side through the darkest and coldest days. Days and stories I'll never forget. It makes me who I am. It gives me grit and guts. My past is in the past. Yet perhaps I have a bit more to give the future to others in need or an understanding thanks to my past. Unbelievable miracle of years, decades praying for this young woman and this awakening. So the power of her wish, the power of her thoughts somehow bore fruit in the years, and her life is changing. There it is. And there are many, many stories of similar encounters with the quantum field that change our life forever. Amen. Let's stand and give our hearts to song.
We're singing, I Want to Be Empty.
I want to be empty, empty, so you can fill me with your love. I want to be empty, empty, so you can fill me with your love. I want to be empty, empty, so you can fill me with your love. I want to be empty, empty, so you can fill me with your love. I want to be I want to be empty, empty, so you can fill me with your love. I want to be empty, empty, so you can fill me with your love. I want to be empty, empty, so you can fill me with your love. I want to be empty, empty, so you can fill me with your love. I want to be empty, empty, so you can fill me with your love.
Amen. We take our tithes, gifts, and offerings into our hands and remember the truth, declaring into the quantum field that God's love has always met and will always meet all my needs. I give freely and receive joyfully. Let's remember this truth together. God's love has always met and will always meet all my needs. I give freely and receive joyfully. And how blessed we are to simply remember God. We dedicate these tithes, gifts, and offerings to the victory of consciously chosen love in each of our lives over the lie of separation and our useless acting out from fear for any reason and any division. In Christ we pray. Amen. Thank you.
When I pray, I feel my heart go deeper. My heart go deeper into my God. When I pray, I feel my heart go deeper. My heart go deeper into my God. Right here, right now, right where I am, I pray. Right here, right now, right where I am, I pray. When I pray, I feel my soul go deeper, my soul go deeper into my God. When I pray, I feel my soul go deeper, my soul go deeper into my God. Right here, right now, right where I am, I pray. Right here, right now, right where I am. I feel my love go deeper, my love go deeper into my God. When I pray, I feel my love go deeper, my love go deeper into my God. Right here, right now, right where I am. Right here, right now, right where I am, I pray. Right where I am, I pray.
And now, let us rest in the silence for 10 minutes of centering prayer, which is a contemplative way of consenting to God's love, presence, and action in our lives. Please join in praying. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory, now and forever. Amen.
Let us pray. Abba, we thank you that we know you hear us now, and that we know you always hear us. It's you who are giving us words, you who are teaching us to pray, and you who are giving us faith to pray in, that lets us know and be certain that you always hear and answer when we ask. Abba, we ask. Pour out your Spirit on these elements, that we may recognize them, receive them, and respond to them as the body and the blood of your Son, the living Christ. Let them communicate his body to our bodies and his blood to our blood. Fill us with your Holy Spirit and transform us into your love. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. During supper, on the night he was betrayed, Jesus took bread, and having said the blessing, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take this, all of you, and eat it. This is my body, which shall be given up for you." This is the body of Christ. When supper was ended, he took the cup, and again he gave God thanks and praise. He gave it to his disciples, saying, "Drink from it, all of you. This is the cup of my blood, the blood of the new and everlasting covenant. It will be shed for you and for all, for the forgiveness of sin. Whenever you do this, remember me." This is the blood of Christ.
You alone can satisfy our hunger. You are the bread of life. You alone can satisfy our thirst. You are the water of life. You alone can satisfy our hunger. You are the bread of life. You alone can satisfy our thirst. You are the water of life. We are one in the body of Christ. We are one in the sacred heart. We are one in the body of Christ. We are one in love.
You alone can satisfy our hunger. You are the bread of life. You alone can satisfy our thirst. You are the water of life. You alone can satisfy our hunger. You are the bread of life. You alone can satisfy our thirst. You are the water of life. We are one in the body of Christ. We are one in the sacred heart. We are one in the body of Christ. We are one in love. You alone can satisfy our hunger. You are the bread of life. You alone can satisfy our thirst. You are the water of life. Alone can satisfy our hunger. You are the body of Christ. You alone can satisfy our thirst. You are the water of life. We are one in the body of Christ. We are one in the sacred heart. We are one in the body of Christ. We are one.
Thank you.
Living and eternal Christ, we feel your risen presence as the field and very life that pervades and yet transcends our bodies and our minds. We realize you are the way and the truth, and we're grateful to share in your body and your blood. May our participation in these divine mysteries transform us into one in your mystical body, the true body of Christ. For the glory of God, our Father, for the glory of God's kingdom here on earth, and so that our joy may be complete. We pray this in your most holy and precious name. Amen. Let's stand and conclude our worship with song.
Like me, I once was lost, but now I am found, was blind, but now I see. 'Twas grace that taught my heart to see, and grace my fears relieved. How precious did that grace appear, the hour I first believed. Through many dangers, toils, and snares, I have already passed. 'Tis grace that brought me safe thus far, to freedom that will last. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a soul like me. I once was lost,
but now I see.
I thank each of you for your presence here to participate in this field of love as we learn how to be more conscious creators. The love of God, the grace of Christ, and the peace of the Spirit is with us each until we meet again. Amen.